where a day at the races begins. RSN 927's Race Day Morning.
It is great to have your company on this Saturday Race Day Morning. And what a 6 months, 12 months it's been for the famous Aussie Gear Colours. And the party continued up on the Gold Coast last Saturday when Coolan Gadda got the job done for all of the punters. And Aussie's got an interesting two-year-old debutante today and a few other runners throughout Australia. We thought it'd be great to get him on to look back on the last 6 months of success and maybe look ahead to where those spring stars are going in the autumn. Aussie, good morning to you. How are you?
Yeah, great. Good morning, everyone.
Got Matty Stewart, Dan Malecki here. First of all, how did Coolan Gadda come through that scintillating win in the Millions last week?
I think she probably pulled up better than the rest of the owners did. She's good. Karen went out and had a look at her the other day. She'll have a nice rest now, hopefully a couple of weeks, and we'll sort of aim at getting her ready for the slipper.
Hey, Aussie, I know you're a party kind of guy when you've got time, as is Bray and all the others. It was a pretty, because of staff, restaurant issues and so on, everyone I spoke to said, Moody and Mytho, they basically went and did their shopping at the IGA and every night they cooked up at home in a little house. Was it hard to party up there given the COVID situation and also the problems with the restaurants and so on?
Look, I wish it was, but no.
You found a way?
Yeah, we found a way. We went into a Japanese restaurant. There was no one in it at the time. I don't know if they were taking bookings or we were just late. And it started with about four of us for a quiet meal and just before the sales was ending. And I think there was 40 by the end of it. And the restaurant stayed open for us. And then we just kicked on there upstairs to some dodgy bar or nightclub. So, no, we found a way. Where there's a will, there's a way. And the group involved will always find a way. So yeah, no, it was a good evening. We had Karen and the whole stable and everyone involved. It was just good to get everyone celebrating and enjoying, you know, the win.
It's been a success that most owners could only dream of the last 6 months. And you put the money in, you've got a lot of horses. But for those who may not be 100% aware, can you just do a quick run through of the major races you won over the Spring Carnival?
Oh, that really puts me in an awkward position. But yeah, look, I've had a good run, obviously, that's been documented. But look, it's not just about me. I've got some really good supporters behind me that they're sort of come into everything. There's no questions asked. They sort of just back our judgment and just trust that we're finding the right horses and doing the right thing. And then behind me, there's obviously, like, I don't claim to be no expert, far from it. I'm only a new guy in the game, but the people behind me, you know, that help sort of assess these horses and pick these horses. Like, I don't even go to the sales myself to show you the extent of the knowledge that I've got picking sort of yearlings. I really trust, you know, the likes of Matt Becker and Matt Scown and the likes of Bray and John and Karen and Trent, all these guys that have sort of always done the right thing. I just back their judgment, and so far that's proved to be well worth it. And we're just enjoying the successes of it. Yeah, look, I'm up there in the limelight because, you know, they're our colours and we're winning, but a lot of hard work goes behind the scenes in picking all those horses and making sure we've got the right ones. And, you know, there's a lot of small owners in these race horses that don't really get much of a mention, but they're just as important because we wouldn't be buying all these sort of horses without them. So yeah, it's a good journey. We're really enjoying it, and let's hope it continues.
I might ask you a slightly tricky one. Sure. Discussion that I had with over lunch yesterday, and you're a very successful businessman, and you know, for very successful people, there's not automatically a ceiling to what they can achieve. How big is too big? I'm just thinking of Mar Eustace, and I'm not judging it in any way, but they are about to make a massive inroad into New South Wales. They have more horses in work than probably any other stable in Australian history at the moment. And for every giant like that that gets so big, others, you know, that it seems to have a negative impact on others around them in their opportunities. As a client of Mar Eustace, does any part of you wonder if there's a ceiling and they're about to hit it, or are they just going to keep getting bigger and bigger?
Look, in business, you've always got your own strategies and the direction you want to head. And, you know, the smaller stables, they would look at it and there's an opportunity for them to sort of use that to their advantage and say, look, you know, we're a boutique stable. We don't have so many horses. You can come sort of get a more customised approach. And then, you know, when you've got a strategy like Karen and Dave, you know, that sort of business, there's been other businesses in other fields that have grown and been the market leaders in that growth and have proved to make it work. And I think from what I know with their stable, it might not look on the surface, but behind the scenes, they are one of the hardest working people I've seen. Forget about racing, just generally as, you know, people in an industry, the whole stable has this culture from the top all the way bottom. Yeah, they can party hard, and yep, they look like they're loose in that, but at the end of the day, they work their butts off from the top all the way down. There's a good culture in there, and that's what you need for growth. You know, he's got a good partner with David that I think goes a long way, and he's got, you know, Lucy and Jack with a really good team behind them, which will enable that growth. And I'm very sure these guys aren't silly. If they didn't have that backbone behind them, they wouldn't be doing what they're doing. They're pretty confident with the team they've got to keep growing, and you know, they got their systems in place. But at the same time, what I find unique, you know, and Waller's the same, what I find unique about these larger stables is they're able to grow, yet if you speak to any of them at any one time, they know everything about your horse, where it's up to, everything. They've got that knowledge and that care factor because they're on all the time, as, you know, true business people are. So, yeah, I'm quite impressed with what they're doing, what they've done, and I've got no hesitation that they will grow and they will become a power, which they already are, but I think they'll be able to maintain that, and that would give owners a lot of confidence whether they choose to go to Karen or someone else.
Ozzy, it's Dan here. We'll go through your horses in just a sec, but being the Ballarat Cup tonight, it's hard to not reflect on a moment you had it as a winning owner, because we replayed the race this morning in Cracking the Codes, and I'm not even sure Matty Stewart or Michael Felgate are aware of this, but you were the part owner of I'm Causing Terror, who won the 2014 Sulky Gate race, the night that almost, or well, half the field was scratched, and you end up with a Group 1 win in 2014, which, to be fair, was a pretty good year for you.
Yeah, well, that were the days where I think it's been well reported, but yeah, I started in harness racing with just to get involved. I never had a background in racing at all, whether it was harness or gallops, but I started in harness racing just because a friend of mine, Carlos, a sort of childhood friend, was really into it, and I was working a lot at the time, and I said, let's have a bit of fun, let's buy a couple of trots and see how we go. And yeah, that was sort of towards the end of my sort of journey with the trots and the start of my you know, venture into the gallops, which has been, you know, horse racing, which has been great.
Was your first? I remember going to Caulfield to Mick Price Stables. I think you renamed. I think it became Let's Go Lenny. I think your first child was Lenny, and your young beautiful wife was there with young Lenny in a pram. Was that almost the start for you, that horse?
I think I took a small share. I think that was from memory. I took a small share in him, and I was very excited. I think it was my first one, and I think I took 10% or 20% at the time, and they let me name the horse. And my wife, we just had a little baby called Lenny, who's now 9. Yeah, and we named the horse Let's Go, and he wasn't very good, so it wasn't necessary. So we haven't named the horse after Lenny, so it's a bit filthy on me, because I said every time I've named the horse Lenny, it's been very slow. So, yeah, that was the start of it.
You're obviously very successful in what you do outside of racing, Ozzy, which allows you to have this hobby and this great passion. But do you keep numbers? Do you know how many horses you've actually got shares in at the moment?
He's asking about the balance sheet. How's the balance sheet? Despite all the champions, is it still in the black or in the red?
Yeah, look, there's no complaints from my end. We're going extremely well. But like I've said in the past, you know, if racing, you know, we enjoy it because we're passionate about it, and I'm probably more passionate every single year. I'm becoming more passionate about racing than I was the previous year. But like anything, I think whether you're in business or whether you're not, and whether you've got money or you haven't got much, you don't like losing money. So I think we've been quite fortunate where we're going okay, and all the owners involved are sort of having wins and enjoying the passion of racing, but not having to dip into their pockets too often. So, I mean, look, that will obviously, you know, where in reality that will obviously change along the way, and this run that we've sort of had is not going to continue. Well, we hope it will, but reality is that it won't. And right now, I guess we're all just enjoying the nice run we're having and the bit of luck that we're having. And,
Ozzy, you got a first starter today, and it's always exciting, the debutants, particularly when they trial well. It's lovely. I'm really impressed by the naming here. I'm interested who come up with it. It's out of a mare called Tiny Dancer. Not Tiny Dancer, Tiny Dancer. And, of course, the horse's name, Count the Headlights, which is part of the lyrics to the song Tiny Dancer. So I like it. I like its trials. What do you think, Ozzy?
Were you the Elton John fan, Ozzy?
Yeah, no, it wasn't me. It was one of the other owners. Obviously, we're racing. That was there with Rosemont, and I'm probably reserved about it today. I know Friedman's got a good one in the race. I think our bloke's probably going to need further, and he's probably more a three-year-old, but I wouldn't be surprised if he runs well, but I'm probably not super confident knowing what's in the race, so we'll see how we go.
How many other runners have you got today?
LaBelle?
We've got LaBelle, who is having his first run for Naren's Eustace Stable. He was just one we bought, an import we bought a couple of years ago, and he's had a few dramas and a few issues, but he's coming back for his first run. Probably a little bit short of his preferred distance. He'll have, he probably needs 2,000 and up, but hopefully he hits the line strong and runs well today.
Ozzy, can I whip through a few of your stars and find out where they're going? Very elegant. She had her first trial earlier this week. When do we get to see her first up?
Yeah, so she'll be running in Sydney in about probably 3-4 weeks. She'll be obviously running the similar campaign as what she's run in previous years, and head towards the sort of grand final, being the Queen Elizabeth.
Are you keen to get overseas with her and follow the trip if she gets there to the Ark?
Always looking for an excuse to travel with some groups of people and enjoy a party. Yeah, that'd be nice.
How's Hitotsu, the Derby winner?
Oh, look, he's great. We're going to go first up, hopefully to the Australian Guineas with him. And look, they couldn't be more happier with him. He had some track work in a gallop the other day, and they were wrapped with him. He's put on some good condition, and last prep we sort of didn't give him any runs because he sort of wasn't. He didn't have much condition on him, so that's the only reason we sort of went from a mile to 2,400, which proved to be a very good move, but he's going extremely well. They're very happy with him. They're pretty upbeat on how he's going.
And your other good three-year-old Forgot You?
Yeah, I'm really happy with the way he's come back as well. Prior to his last run, he was probably the horse that I thought was our number one seed. Hitotsu knocked him off, which was great. That was one of ours. But I thought he was going to be very hard to beat in the Derby. He might have just picked the run before and was probably a bit over the top when he went to the Derby. I think it was the sixth or seventh run in. So I'm expecting him to come back in good order. And he'll run in the CS Hay 1400 first up into the Australian Guineas. And we'll probably have blinkers on him and see if we can get him to be a bit sharper than what he was last prep.
And is there any update on Incentivise at the moment?
Not much more than what's been reported. So she's going through some rehab with Steve Tregeier in Queensland, and probably look at bringing him back here once the scans are done, probably around Feb, March, and hopefully get him ready for another spring assault.
And I think Coolangatta is a headline two-year-old, but you've got another really nice two-year-old, Letizia, heading towards the Diamond.
Yeah, I love this. I love this girl. She's a capitalist filly. The stables had big raps on her from day one. She's a big girl, and she obviously had her first start up at Flemington up the straight. Then we sort of didn't know what to expect, but she sort of performed better than my expectations on that day. And from all reports, they're very happy with her. So she'll have one run, maybe two, depending what Karen and Dave decide, but she'll have one run in either the preview or the prelude to the Blue Diamond, and then aim towards the Blue Diamond. But all reports are they're very happy with her, so she could be she could be something very good. So very excited to see how she comes up.
Yeah, she's about $14 chance in the blue diamond at the moment, or into 11s now. Oz, great to catch up, get a bit of a snapshot on how the stable stars are going. Good luck today with your debutante as well.
Thank you. Appreciate the call. Always pleasure.